Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me on this lovely Friday in Toronto, this Black Friday in Toronto, Joshua Hart. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I did have the opportunity to get trampled in a Walmart this morning, but, you know, 2020 has been a lot about making adjustments, so I'm doing all right.
It's a huge sacrifice not to
huge sacrifice
to get trampled over a $20 toaster oven, but, you know, those deals are out there, I guess, and Manscaped, you know.
Yeah. Do they have a Black Friday promotion?
I don't know, but if you use the promo code Everything, you can get 20% off the order plus free shipping, which is pretty good. Also, you know, the product, they did send me some product, and don't want to get into details, but it's very, very solid. I very much enjoyed it.
It works.
Yeah.
It's the Matt Thomas of razors.
That was the freaky text I sent you over the weekend. Was I just told you it was confirmed.
Bill texted me. It was like the middle of the afternoon. He's like, can't confirm. It's the Matt Thomas of razors. I'm like, shout out.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not get into more details, but use the promo code Everything. All right. We're going to take Twitter questions just as we did last Friday. This is kind of a little warm up, honestly, to restarting the live call-in show, which will be coming back. We don't have the finalized date just yet, and we got to figure out some technicals, but it's coming back, and me and Josh will be taking your questions. As of right now, we're doing the old school way. I guess the old school is, this is actually, I guess, a new school way. Taking calls is like the old school way, but yeah, we're taking Twitter questions. So the first question comes from Jeremy, says, if rosters stay relatively as is, who are your 1-8 in the Eastern Conference? And then he gives his order. I'm not really going to take his order. But yeah, Josh, I'll start here. So I like ranking them in tiers because it's so difficult to predict.
Great.
And I kind of rank them in tiers in terms of how well I think they will do in the playoffs. My tier one is Boston, Milwaukee, and Miami. Did not put Toronto in that tier, unfortunately, because Toronto, I did think, took a step back with their center talent and didn't really add too much else around. You know, Milwaukee, I would say they're slightly better prepared for the playoffs now with Drew Holiday. Obviously replacing Eric Bledsoe is pretty huge. I think their depth took a hit, so I'm not really sure how they're going to do. But generally speaking, Mike Budenholzer has gotten a lot of regular season wins anyway, unlimited talent. So, you know, if that's like the one good thing he does as a coach is to maximize.
Shout out to DeMar Carroll's contract.
Shout out to DeMar Carroll's contract. You know, Masai, I don't know what you're thinking of that one, but that was not it. That's like when you hop on Black Friday and you just buy some random stuff just because it was on discount and you realize you didn't need it at the first place.
Yeah, you have an Alexa enabled like bookshelf and you're like, what did I get this for?
Exactly.
That's DeMar Carroll's.
DeMar Carroll's like, yeah, I will finally buy a Google Home. They've slashed the price low enough. And you're like, I never use this thing other than to ask it for what the weather is. Although, hey, listen, Google Home, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we'll erase that right away. But Milwaukee, Boston, I mean, Boston's self-explanatory. They're still there. They kept the team. They're pretty decent. I think Tristan's actually a really nice pickup for them. Fits what they need, especially as a backup center. I thought they couldn't really settle on a consistent backup center. And now if those 48 minutes are going to Tyson Tristan, both guys who I think can play well in the playoffs, Tristan can get more of like the Bam Adebayo types who are more physical and bigger. And, you know, if you need more rebounding help. So I think that works for them. Honestly, Boston might be my number one in the conference. And then Miami's still there, obviously, because they're still a solid team. Tier two, I had Toronto, Brooklyn, Philadelphia. Brooklyn, I just don't know if they can defend well enough. This is also the first year they're playing back together. Those guys are injury prone, so they can get hurt at the wrong time. I can't really put them in the top tier, even though they have some top tier talent. Philly, I know people said that, look, they fixed all their shooting woes. I think their woes are the fact that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are very, very different players. Simmons wants to play fast. Embiid wants to play slow. We'll see what happens there, but I'm not totally sold on Philly. Toronto's there too, I would say. of course, you know, they're just a good team. Then I got Indiana in their own tier, in the third tier. Indiana is just destined to lose in the first round every single year. It's happened like five straight years now. So I don't see that changing. And then after that, I got like Atlanta and Washington, who I think are slightly better than the rest of the teams. But that's, those are my four tiers of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's hard to super argue. I'm a little more excited about Philly than you might be. I think that that team will continue to change its roster composition as the season approaches. I think that they're likely to run out a sort of different looking scheme, but I really do like the additions of Seth Curry, Danny Green. I like that they got I think Al Horford for Dwight Howard sounds crazy, but for what they'll be used for, I think if Dwight Howard's able to keep his head on the shoulders like he was for much of last season, I think he, you know, will not be a tin can. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I think I like the 76ers. I'd like to see them perform well. I'm like, Joel Embiid is probably my favorite personality in the NBA, and I really believe in him and think he gets dumped on a lot because he's not been able to produce in the playoffs. And here's to hoping that he does. Yeah, I like that first tier. Besides that, I do think that Toronto's just outside of that grouping with, so I would have Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Philly in that first tier, and then I'd have the Nets, then Toronto. I think like Orlando's finished. I think Indiana might be.
Orlando's going to grind their way to an AC that nobody ever wants to play because they're so boring.
Yeah,
but then they also did miss Isaac for the whole year because he's out. Yeah. He refused to take a knee, and then God said, "You're taking a knee."
I think the play-in tournament for the 7 and 8 seed in the Eastern Conference are going to be very competitive. I think that like Atlanta, Detroit, Charlotte, Washington, Indiana, like that's going to be pretty. I think that's going to. I'm looking forward to that. You know, new twist with the play-in tournament or the play-in series for those last seeds. I think it'll be kind of interesting to see like Detroit versus Orlando, and like both of these teams are not going to beat Milwaukee, but I think that those two teams will be competitive, which is nice because the thing with the East is the top 5-6 teams are good, the everyone else is terrible. And I think that we are actually getting a nice little middle section. I still think like Chicago, Cleveland, I think they're going to be bad, but I think the like 12 through 7 range is going to be pretty competitive, and that's nice, I guess.
Do you think the fact that they introduced the play-in tournament enticed a lot of these other teams who are middle of the conference to add? Because if you look at Charlotte, they're probably licking their lips at the idea of getting in as a 10th seed and playing the play-in tournament, or like Detroit, for example, kind of did the same thing. You
know? I think Detroit like loaded up to have a competent basketball team, and I kind of like that. I'm happy for Dwayne Casey that he has a team that isn't completely unworkable. Like he can, like on a 70 game schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Casey had a team with like 37 wins, and that's good. Like that's competent. And I think there are a lot of those teams now in the bottom of the Eastern Conference, or sort of lower section of the middle of the Eastern Conference. And that's the benefit of the play-in tournament, where, you know, if your team's in a region where fans can be in attendance, it's very important to have a quality product out on the court to drive ticket sales. And I don't know. I'm hoping that, Charlotte should be decent. Detroit should be okay. Mm-hmm. Washington should be watchable. It's nice to have these not so good teams not be completely tanking this season. It's nice. Because I'm going to be watching a lot of basketball this winter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm actually really happy for Detroit because, the NBA has now introduced new COVID rules about you can only have 25% of your fans there. So Detroit can finally sell out an arena. I'm actually happy for them. It'll be their first sellout since the last time the Raptors played there. Is DeLon Wright going to be a starting guard for them? That's tough, man. But, I mean, look, listen, it's better than what they had last year. I know we make fun of them. Yeah. It's better than what they had last year.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the East. I really do enjoy watching Washington because A, I can watch them from a safe distance knowing that they won't threaten the Raptors, but also B, knowing that they're always messy but always entertaining. You know, John Wall's going to talk a lot of cash shit about how he's just as good as anybody in Boston or anybody in Miami. he's the best point guard in the league or something like that. And honestly, I miss watching John Wall play, man. He's actually a pretty fun player, especially when he shoots 10 of 29, you know. So, but I mean, no, like, seriously, I really do kind of miss Washington a little bit.
Yeah.
They're kind of like the perpetual, like, moody little brother of the whole conference. And they're probably going to finish late in the playoffs. But honestly, if it was Washington versus Milwaukee as the 8-1 matchup, I'm giving Washington two games in that series. I'm just saying that right now.
Or, like, imagine a Washington Miami series. Like, that'd be fine.
I would love it. Yeah, it would be awesome. Because they do have good talent that I know. I mean, I've seen John Wall play well in the playoffs. Obviously, this is pre-injury, but still. I've seen Bradley Beal perform in the playoffs, and they actually have a couple of pieces there that, I mean, they just don't defend, period. So it's whatever, but they have some good firepower. So I'm pretty excited for the East this year, man. It's going to be fun. But right now I have Toronto in the tier two, unfortunately. It is what it is.
Do you at all believe in Charlotte? Like, I don't, the Gordon Hayward thing doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Who's their
pick again? Like, is their big man still Bismack Biyombo? Like, bro, how many times? I get it. You drafted Bismack Biyombo with a lottery pick. It didn't work out for you. You don't have to re-sign him three more times, man. This is like when the Raptors kept re-signing Bargnani, and I was like, yo, stop. Like, just take your loss and just move on, you know? As Kyle Lowry said, Bismack, stop working on your handle, man. You're not going to use that.
Yeah, I the thing that I can't wait for is, like, LaMelo Ball versus Terry Rozier versus Devontae Graham. Like, it's just... It's gonna be a nightmare. Like, I don't think it's gonna be very much fun for everyone involved.
Yeah, no, but I'm
just... I like they got a Hernan Gomez who.
Oh right, is right. Of
okay,
course.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's tough when you're not the best Hernan Gomez. You know, when you're not even the best Hernan Gomez. I think Juancho is currently at top, not only because he has the better name. By the way, I do enjoy the Charlotte Hornets signing, spending on a max contract to get Gordon Hayward just to move from 9th to 10th in the conference. Really excited for him to do that, honestly.
What I'm excited for? I'm excited for his wife to find new cops to eat cheese with.
Oh, man. Why did she say that? Like, everyone already thought this about you, but then to confirm it and to say that all she did was eat cheese with the police? Like, come on, man.
Okay.
All right. Next question. We got a many variations of this question, so I'm just gonna use this one from Ouchia Smacked. Okay. All right. What player do you both feel will take? Oh, actually, no. This is a different question. There's one here. I'll take that one in a second. But let's take this one first from Cashton. In the unlikely event that Giannis does not come to Toronto, what are the next best options, either in trade or free agency, in your opinion? This has been asked like five or six different ways because people are trying to figure out what the plan B is outside of Giannis. Yeah. I don't really have a good satisfactory answer. I mean, the 2021 free agency class is good for sure. You have Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, Jrue Holiday, even Kyle Lowry's a free agent, for example, DeMar.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, look, if Giannis doesn't come, then I don't think LeBron's coming first up. I think LeBron should stay in LA. He's just going to retire there. Kawhi has already said no to the Raptors. I know there's always this like dream of Kawhi coming back to the Raptors. He's got good relations with that. If he didn't stay after the championship, he's not coming back. And then it's like Paul George, which I'm like, you know, I mean, I'll take Paul George for sure, but like, And then Jrue Holiday, you know, it really tails off a little bit. So it really is kind of a Giannis or nothing. And then the unsatisfactory answer is if you just keep rolling over and collecting assets, like that's not necessarily as sexy. What I will say is that's probably what the Raptors strategy is going to be, is to keep being competitive, keep flexibility in terms of signing younger players to good deals that you can either move or develop with, and then just stay good. And then when, you know, fringe or trade targets or something like that comes along, you have the ability to play for them. Honestly, that's as good as you can do in the NBA, unless you were just like the Los Angeles Lakers and you could just like be crap for like 10 years and then all of a sudden you get LeBron and AD. You know, that's probably as well as you can do. So I mean, it's probably going to be very similar to what they did this summer, which is just like make good signings, stay solid, keep your leadership intact, which obviously they still have to sign Masai and Bobby, and then just keep winning, stay solid, have the assets ready when someone comes available, and that's pretty much it. But I don't think they're going to tank or anything like that.
Yeah, I think the plan's just got to be if they miss on Giannis, you build around OG, Norm, Pascal, and that's a pretty competent team already. Knock on wood. On paper, with the way they're developing, it seems pretty solid. I don't know. Like, won't DeMar DeRozan be a free agent in 2021?
Enough, man. We did it the first time. It's okay. Masai and DeMar hugged it out. That's very heartwarming. That's about it, man. That's the extent of the hug.
Yeah.
Do you think it was the Fredo Corleone hug? I hope not. I'll just say that much.
Yeah. I think the hatchet's buried and I don't know. Maybe they'll announce that they're going to put a DeMar DeRozan statue in front of Scotiabank.
I mean, they'll probably at least like put his number in the Ring of Honor. I don't think the Raptors have one right now, but start it. DeMar is a good place to start with that.
Yeah.
You know, because like, for example, I wouldn't necessarily retire Kawhi's number either. I'd put him in the Ring of Honor. There should be a Ring of Honor because you need to honor some people in the ACC that aren't just like people who look like they went through the Great Depression, quite honestly.
Facts. I don't. There's the 2021 free agency. It'll happen. Hope yes. It seems like all of the chips are in the middle of the table for Giannis, and I don't know, maybe Ola, but I don't really want Victor Oladipo. Depends on what he looks like next.
Here's the thing, too, because if you are going to make one of these all-in trades, I think you only do it for like a top 10, but probably top 8. Right. And those players are just like rarely going to come available, and they are not available every single year. So, and it's just very, very tough. Like, I don't think they're going to make a move like that for Oladipo, for example. I mean, that's something that Houston kind of did, because Houston also stayed competitive, had some flexibility, but also chased every free agent. But then you kind of lose your vision a little bit because you're chasing Dwight Howard 1 year, then you're chasing Chris Paul 1 year, then you're chasing Russell Westbrook 1 year, and then you're doing this and that, and then you're trading all these guys you're putting 4 picks on the table for Jimmy Butler. It just muddles your vision to the point where you're just like, your ceiling is mostly the same because you're not chasing like an elite guy. So I think the Raptors are going to be patient as they are and then just stay winning, which, by the way, it's a pretty good place to be to win. I know we kind of take it for granted now, but like, not a lot of teams, very few teams win 50 games every year. Very few teams have that as a guarantee. Very few teams make the playoffs every year. You know what I mean? Like, consistently have young players that are competitive in the right mindset as well. So I don't know, man. Cherish what you have as well. Cause it's not just like Giannis or nothing. Like, the team is still pretty good on its own, man. It's not like a championship team, but it's still pretty good, man.
Can't lose. And to me, I have like the kind of production that the Dallas Mavericks had for the entire 2010s. That's like an awesome way to have a franchise that, like, every year, some years they're in the top four, other years they're in the sort of bottom four, but every year they're in the playoffs. That's like, what more do you really want as a fan? And I think that a core of Pascal, Fred, OG can get you, like, they're pretty much, I think that they can be at 6-7 seed minimum going forward if that's the core. And that's,
it's not terrible. It really is not terrible. Like, because it's not just those guys too. You know, Masai's going to surround those guys with talent.
For sure.
So you got a great coach in Nick Nurse. He's extended. It's not terrible, guys. Just, you know, and I know we're all very fixated on Giannis, and it's probably very anxiety inducing because it's such a small chance, but I don't know, man. That's what it takes to win in sports. Otherwise, the bottom line is not terrible. It's not like we're going to be the old Raptors again. So that's always good. Next one from Winston. Will JD Hive rise from the ashes and support Aaron Baines to a similar degree? I love this question. My guess is no. I don't think there's a case of you need to make Aaron Baines the number one option, or you need to make Aaron Baines a secondary option. He does play defense, which is nice. I mean, JD played defense too. But was more limited defensively.
Yeah. I think that so much of like JV Hive was connected to the fact that like JV had a pretty decent personality and connected with like the people of the GTA, you know, shout out to Wasega Beach, shout out to Etobicoke.
I was going to say.
There was just like, there was Etobicoke. Something that felt, shout out to Etobicoke, shout out to the, you know, Lithuanian community. I think that part was cool, and that had some of that helped endear him to the fan base. And not that Aaron Baines isn't going to do that, but so much of the like the sort of voracious appetite that people had to argue about JV on Twitter and Real GM was because they liked him. And that some of that he was drafted here. Some of that was people saw him at their like church on Sundays. Like that stuff matters in, when you have a regional star. I don't know. Aaron Baines is going to be around here for 2 years. We'll see. We'll see if he's able to.
Yeah.
If his play does it, I doubt it. But if his personality does it, it remains to be seen.
Well, I mean, there was also the case with JV that he was younger. The team's talent overall was a little bit lower, and there was a case for JV to get more minutes and playing time. The degree in which and the maybe the fervent nature of it was probably a little bit. Much, but honestly, I mean, like, that's the nature of fandom. I mean, by the way, we're talking about Etobicoke. I mean, Alex Len is Ukrainian, you know, so
is he? So, yeah, like, I feel like he may have.
Oh, we're gonna like, Alex Len Hive.
There are gonna be people who, and I think that's cool, like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, there was Jeremy Len Hive, bro. That was probably less warranted than Alex Len Hive, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, Len Sanity, baby, get excited, Len Sanity. The campaign to make Alex Len the primary backup center. By the way, on this topic, I was thinking back about how many international, like non-American, basically, white big men that the Raptors have had historically. It's a long list.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rasho Nesterovich, the god. To be honest, quite solid, very, very solid player. I really enjoyed Rasho. Rafael Ruggio, Jake Voschkel. Zonta Bach, Andrea Bargnani, Primoz Brezic, JV, Marc Gasol, Aaron Baines, Alex Len, Luis Scola.
Luis Scola, yeah.
Like, this is just like.
Shout out to Yak for getting the money. I'm proud of him. It's good.
Yeah, congrats, like, man. Yeah.
NBA pro. It's good.
Honestly, that's a good solid deal for San Antonio, too. I feel like they got him on a slight discount because I think he's actually pretty decent.
Yeah. I'm excited. Either, like, what's his name? Isaiah Stewart, Jamaican kid, like child of Jamaican immigrants, got drafted.
Nice.
I'm cheering for him.
Unfortunately, he's the seventh string center for Detroit. So why do they have so many centers, man? Yeah. All right. Next question comes from, as I mentioned earlier, Alchio Smacked. What players do you feel, you both feel, will take the next step in development over the season? I think Matt Thomas will be this year's choice personally. But I also hope Paul Watson Jr. takes a leap too. So, I think a lot of people like Watson at this point. I think the secret's out. If he does take a leap,
yeah.
I don't think people will be surprised. To be honest, they don't really have like a consistent backup small forward. So I can definitely see Paul Watson sliding into that role as a 3-and-D guy, more 3 than D. But he was solid, you know. It's a big step for him though, but I'd be happy for him.
Yeah.
Like 25. Kind of had a late break in his life and always rooting for those kind of stories because that's who the Raptors target. If you blossom late in life, come to the Raptors.
Yeah, that feels like the only answer that would be like a surprise development story this year. Matt Thomas, maybe. Thomas, by the end of the playoffs, I don't really know if you can expect more from Matt Thomas this season than you saw in the bubble. Like, he's out there for his 8 minutes a game. He's not giving away too much on defense to make him unplayable. He's obviously a 3-point shooting threat. If Matt Thomas is able to do that throughout the season and, you know, play 8 to 12 minutes a game, that seems high. But if he's out there and not giving it back on defense, that'd be awesome. But you've kind of already seen that. Paul Watson's the only totally out of left field development unless Stanley Johnson's able to put it together and be an NBA pro. Which, yeah, you know, this is it for Stanley.
Well, you never know, man, because, you know, we still have Stanley's suggestions, and we can't lose that part of the show ever. I hope you have a Stanley.
Yeah, we don't even have DeJuan's destinations.
Oh, man, his destination right now is home, unfortunately.
I remember right before the season, and I said, DeJuan, you better go help these people move out of the bubble, you know, get some names, let some people see your face.
Make some contacts, man.
But hopefully.
You probably had to wear a name tag, like at a conference. No, I mean, look, I hope DeJuan. I wish him the best. Honestly, I think he still has a chance to enter the NBA, but he's just been
it's
really
just been injured. He's really got to be healthy,
much.
Man.
He hasn't really played much the last 2 years, man. But
just got to get healthy.
Seemed like a good dude. So, you know, good luck to him. Oh, by the way, underrated DeJuan moment, man, when he missed the floater off the pass from Stanley Johnson. That would have been a game winner against Philadelphia, but instead DeJuan missed, yep. And Stanley was there for the putback and the jumper, of course. The clutch gene. Maybe Masai made that decision of who to cut just based on that moment alone.
I really am interested to see what the small forward rotation looks like after training camp. Like, it's it's just a huge question mark. It's like after 100%. OG, I have no idea what's happening, and that's – like, it's neat. I'm excited for it.
It might be a mix, you know, because I feel like, honestly, O'Shea has a decent shot of that too. He still needs to be signed, but yep. I mean, now there's another roster spot open. I kind of do anticipate him being signed, yep. So yeah, but we'll see, man.
Yeah.
It's definitely a point of development from the Raptors. I think, honestly, in terms of, we like to talk about development from like guys that have not done anything to like being contributors, which is great. But that's not usually what moves the ceiling of the team. The ceiling of the team is just like the more important guys. Like, can Pascal take a leap? Yeah. Can Fred take a leap? Those two guys take a leap. You know, Fred, I think there's more room for Fred to improve. For Pascal, it's really just like honing his game. And we'll talk more about Pascal later on. But that's where the real development happens. It might not even necessarily be in the numbers. It's just in terms of their skill set and what they can do in certain moments. And those guys are both still very young players in their like fifth season now. I still expect development from those guys. So that's probably more important, even though it's not as sexy as saying Matt Thomas is going to be like the sixth man of the year or something.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Young Simba 7. Should the Raptors trade some pieces away? I mean, we haven't traded anything from our championship pieces, but they keep leaving free agency. What do you think if we trade guys like Norm Powell, Pat McCaw, et cetera, to get better assets or future picks? Josh, I feel like every time I talk to you, man, for the pod,
everyone's trying to get rid of Norm. I don't really understand. I don't really get it. I know that it is on the team's most tradable contract.
Yep.
But I don't know if the ethos of this team is come in, work hard, develop, we retain you, and we give our guys raises. Mm-hmm. Norm Powell should get a raise next offseason because he's done a good job. He's gone from being a very hot or very cold guy off the bench who's somehow shown up huge in playoff moments throughout this team's sort of story the last few years to being last season when he was healthy, and that's an issue maybe, but a very productive guy off the bench who could spot start. And, you know, last time I checked, he's the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Facts. It's just been the longest week in NBA history. But
and so to me, like, Norm Powell, yeah, it's a tradable contract. I'm not going to lie. If the Raptors are going to make a move, there's not really many that won't include him because of the asset he is. But the expectation that I have and that I think all of us should have is Norm Powell's done a good enough job to get a raise from this team in a couple of years, a la Fred VanVleet last week. Pascal two years ago, Kyle Lowry a year ago. Like, why does it not apply to Norm?
I mean, my answer would be, I don't know if he's actually been at the point where he's consistent enough to do that, because I think you still have fun.
Are you saying his play or the injuries?
No, the play. Because, like, what do we see?
I don't know if I agree.
What did we see in the Boston series?
Okay, the Boston series was bad.
This guy got outplayed by Brad Wanamaker for the first five games of that series, man. Brad Wanamaker just signed for like the minimum. And I'm not like, obviously a lot of people had bad playoff performances in the Boston series. Like, you know.
Yeah, like Sammy Ojeley outplayed Pascal Siakam. Like,
that's not true. Don't go there.
Yeah. But we can do this thing back and forth where we, like, Norm Powell on aggregate has outperformed his contract.
Oh, that for sure. That, I mean, listen.
And
why is it
inconceivable to say that he deserves a raise, or even if he's not gets a raise, retained by the team? For sure, there may be teams who want to overpay, and it doesn't make sense for the Raptors. Fine, but at the end of the day, it is true that Norm Powell, with the performance that he's put out and the culture this team sets to, give the rest of the league the impression of, is we develop our guys and we retain them because we believe that's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
I think that applies in this case. If somebody goes out and says, we're going to pay you $22 million a year, and we say, okay,
nobody's doing
congratulations.
Yeah.
I know, but whatever. If somebody says,
well, actually, you, Charlotte might have cap room next year somehow.
He's making 11 next year. So if he goes, if he goes out and the Raptors say, we'll give you 14, and somebody says, we'll give you 18 and or an extra year, and he takes it, congratulations, Norm Powell. You are an NBA success story. But it's the same thing happened with, like, Terrence Ross was a worse player than Norm Powell.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely less productive. And the Raptors gave him a raise. Yes, they traded him in the surge deal, whatever. But at the end of the day, I think Norm Powell's done enough for the first option to be he's getting a raise. He's getting a raise and we're keeping him.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to see Norm gone. Like, it's not like he needs to go or anything like that. I don't believe that. I really enjoy Norm. I think he's a great player in his role. But I mean, like, at the same time, I think it's probably the same things that you always say about him. What does he do aside from scoring? Because he doesn't really defend, like, at an elite level. He doesn't really assist anybody. Doesn't really create. He just finishes, which is, and he's been a really good finisher this past year for sure. And then B is like the consistency thing, man. I mean, like, obviously, I think he had some great moments in the Nets series, but then in that Celtics series, he disappeared. And like, that's one of the things with Norm is just like, he would have huge flashes, right? I mean, the Celtics game six, he was part of the closing lineup, had, why would he score 15 points in the two overtimes? Amazing performance, right? But like, that, he probably scored 15 points in the series at the point. Like, it was, and that's the part that is so hard to pay the guy for, because I think the Raptors will re-sign you if you're going to be a starter for sure. Don't know if Norm has that path to being a starter with the Raptors, and the Raptors have a lot of depth at the shooting guard position. So I would say, in terms of, look, I'm sort of take it or leave it with that as well. But, you know, if you were to trade Norm, I would say something like, probably, you know, like Josh Richardson got traded this past month at the draft. And, you know, I would say he's probably proven to be a little bit better of a player than Norm, but not that much, I would say.
And a worse feat in his last situation.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, you know, Richardson with 1 year left on this deal, signed to essentially the same contract as Norm, like 11 mil with a player option that he's probably going to turn down. Richardson got Seth Curry and a 34th pick. So if you want Norm gone for Seth Curry and a 34th pick, okay. But you're not getting that much for Norm. So you honestly, I mean, you might just take the production instead. So, but I don't know, man. The rest of the guys on the roster, I don't really see it. I know people kind of want to jump ahead and be like, oh, let's trade Kyle Lowry. I'm just against that. I don't believe in that. That's like my religion. I don't believe in trading Kyle Lowry, you know? Like Kawhi said when he was about to get fed beef penis last year, he said, I'm a vegetarian. You know, you can't kill cows. I don't believe in that. Like, I'm a Kyle Lowry-tarian, and you can't trade Kyle Lowry. And that's just what it is for me.
All right.
Learn the error of my ways in the past. All right, next question from Sports Wingo. Over-under wins for the Raptors next season. He or she gave 45 games, which is roughly 50 wins in a regular, 40 or 82-game schedule. For me, I had them over. I don't have them over by that much, but I had them over 50 wins, or in this case, 45. What do you think?
I don't know. I would have put them at like a 47 win, like regular season pace, look normal, or not quite 50 win, around there. I guess like there are going to be those games where Kyle Lowry just says like, fuck Brooklyn, and then decides to win. Yeah. Not this current version of the Brooklyn team, but like another,
I mean, hey,
middle of the pack team.
You can still do
that. Maybe this current version of it, but like, they're playing, I don't know, who's a team that's really not super great, but competent? Portland, I can see them, like, but Indiana, the team that I expect them to win. Like, I can see the Raptors on the road in Portland. They're down six at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Kyle Lowry scores 14 points, we win.
Yeah.
I guess if you add three of those, they'll push, like, 40. Like, I have them, like, 46, 47. So, yeah, that 46 to 49 range.
Yeah.
On a regular winning schedule, I don't know. I can't do the math to convert. So, like, 42 wins in this version of the season?
Yeah, I mean, look, the weird thing with the Raptors is just you always expect them to be a little bit lower, but they're just quite solid always, man. They've beaten the over by Vegas, like, seven straight years or something like that, so.
Yeah, what was their winning percentage in like 2012, 2013?
That was bad, man. That was like 34%, 36%, something like that. That was the Rudy Gay year. I think they went, I don't know, 36 and 66, something like that.
I'm looking at the year when they went 48 and 34, 2013, 2014. That's like the Gravis Vasquez year. That's the kind of like production I'm like when they had like Tyler Hansbrough.
But Chuck honestly, Hayes, before the Rudy Gay trade, they were 6-12. Afterwards, they finished the season 42-22. So if they had just had that roster for the whole year, they would have finished with 50 wins. It's unbelievable. The Raptors always find a way to get to 50.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, next one from Robert. Robert M. I love this question. Which Raptors player is going to end up becoming a Florida man?
That's a fun question.
I know people are, I hope you guys understand what a Florida man is, but essentially, what's the Canadian equivalent? Brampton man?
No, it's more like Peterborough. You know what it is? Florida man is it's like a barbecue guy.
Yeah, it's like a guy you would kind of believe anything about, like any story told about this person, you would kind of believe it, even no matter how ridiculous it is.
Like a guy who fights it, like which rapper is most likely to like fight a crocodile and win? Or do they have alligators in Florida? I don't never remember. I don't know.
Probably both.
The like dark horse candidate to me is Nick Nurse. I feel like next year, opening day, you ask Nick Nurse, Coach Nurse, you have any crazy stories from the year in Florida? And he's like, I ever tell you about the time that I woke up with a barracuda in my like bedroom? Like, no, of course not. And he'll tell some sort of crazy Nick Nurse story.
Yeah. I like that.
Because Nick Nurse kind of has a Florida man vibe. Just because he's he's had this like long, interesting life. Like most people get a job in their like mid to late 20s and then they're just at that company for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Like that's not Nick Nurse's story. So I feel like he has a lot of these unbelievable stories, but my nomination for this is Coach Nick Nurse.
I'm going with Alex Len. Just feel like, by the way, underrated thing about Alex Len that I have not touched on in the three podcasts I've done about Alex Len is he replaces the Serge Ibaka willing to fight element. And you know a player's really about it if you go on YouTube and search them fighting. And you don't just find specific results. You find compilation videos that someone has made. Like Serge Ibaka heated fights, 10 minutes, right? Serge's been in the league longer, but Alex Len has like a 6-minute fight reel. So I'm going with Alex Len, man. This man might just, you might just see him barbecuing gator tail or something like that. I don't know what they do in Florida, man.
But it'd be fun to see.
Good luck to them.
It'd be fun to see Alex Len on the next like Smack volume. But who knows?
All right, next one from Eric. What's going on with OG? What can we expect from him this season and extension stuff? I don't know what the extension stuff is going to look like. I think Clutch Sports has done a really good job of getting their clients paid. If the Raptors are as intent on 2021 as they seem to be, maybe they don't do it. But even if they don't do it, get an extension done with OG and eat into some of their cap room, I still believe in the Raptors' ability to move some contracts around. It just probably means you might need to move one of your core pieces or OG himself, which hopefully doesn't happen. But I kind of see OG in the same role. Hopefully he just improves in that role, because if you look at the starting five, for example, you still have Kyle, Pascal, and Freddie. Those are your top three options. And then Aaron Baines is pretty much just going to do what Mark does. Probably shoots a little bit more than Mark does, because Mark just never shot. So what does that leave OG offensively? He's probably still in the same place. I think his production is going to be similar, and maybe the difference is just he gets more minutes because the small forward position is a little bit weaker this year. Although not by too much, I would say. I mean, like, who was backing him last year? Like, TD? Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah.
It wasn't that much.
You know. Yeah, I feel like the most similar value clutch story, like, I feel like this could go down like the Tristan Thompson extension. How old will OG be? Tristan Thompson, what, got 586? So what would that be in 2020 bucks? Like 500? Maybe not quite. 592.
Okay, how much would you say you'd be happy paying OG to? Like, if you locked in an extension, what price do you feel? What price? I hate that term, but like, what contract do you feel more comfortable with? Because like, if it's like, okay, OG needs to sign the max right now, and that's the extension, then no, we're not signing OG to that max. But if the extension is like 16, 17 million, which I think will be on the low end for OG, then you might think about it a little bit more, you know?
I always like to look at sort of average distribution for like player salaries. The problem with small forwards, if there's like five guys and then a massive, like there are five, there are 10 guys who will make the max. Exactly. Brandon Ingram, like Otto Porter makes the max. Like, and then there's a drop off. But I don't know, if he made like what Kelly Oubre is making, 15. That'd be like amazing if they got that done.
Be amazing. I feel like he probably ends up somewhere closer to 18 to 20.
Like, does he make like the Jeremy Grant contract is the one that you like kind of look at and say, uh oh.
Yeah. But you know what though? That was unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, agreed.
With restricted, so, it does keep the number down a little bit more then.
Not a clutch.
Yeah, not a clutch. You're right. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man.
I mean, if OG's making $19 million a year, more power to him. I don't really like that number, but he's not going to make like, is he going to make the Davis Bertans money?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was pretty big. Or like, even like,
but Davis Bertans is only making $15 million this year.
That's true, but it's still Davis Bertans, and he got a 5-year deal, man. This guy's been good for like two seasons.
6 weeks. Like, he was good from like that didn't make any sense.
They were like, Davis Bertans is the best shooter in the NBA, and then the Raptors got to him, and Fred like pressed up on him one time, and he shot like 2 for 11.
I guess if like obviously, I mean not obviously, I would be surprised to see if OG made the max in his extension, and everyone who's right under that max level is making between like 15 and 18. Or 19 with Jeremy Grant. That'd be okay, I guess.
Yeah.
He can't. I wouldn't hate that. He's not getting Harrison Barnes money.
No, he's not. And that was also a cap spike then too. But like, I think the big thing is I don't necessarily anticipate a huge role change for OG next year that's going to then constitute a huge change in terms of how much salary he's going to get. Right? Because like, that would actually be something that where if you anticipate giving a bigger role next year, maybe you sign him to a lesser deal now in case, you know, he severely overperforms that role. But I think his role is still going to be quite similar with the Raptors next year. So I think his production is kind of similar, and maybe you can wait then. But also at the same time, as I've said a couple of times, the Raptors have a pretty long history, a track record of sending guys on the rookie deals. Happened with Terrence Ross, happened with Jonas Valanciunas, happened with Pascal, happened with, you know, who else?
DeMar?
Norm. Yeah, DeMar before that, too. Although that was a different GM, but still. You know, Raptors do have a pretty long history of this, too. So I wouldn't be surprised. But it depends, again, on how OG's camp wants to negotiate it. We haven't really heard anything about them.
He's just going to send the Gordon Hayward, like, forward the press release on Gordon Hayward's contract.
All right, well, someone's got to find me the team out there that's willing to pay $120 million for OG next year. Hopefully it's not Charlotte. Charlotte, bro, I hope you're done spending all your money, man. MJ, I don't know what you're doing, man.
I mean, he had so much money from the last dance, he was giving some away. Like, maybe he's just maybe he's just got it like that.
MJ?
He doesn't, but who knows?
You know, in those, there's those pictures of MJ. There's this one infamous one where he's walking out of a car, like a limo, and his eyes are like demon red. And he's holding a wooden case of like some sort of cognac. I feel like that's the state that he was in when he was like, let's get Gordon Hayward. Just that exact
state. Can we find his wife any cheese?
that's what sealed it, man. Gordon Hayward's like, make sure you put two police detail on my house.
You got any gray owl?
Oh my goodness! The Charlottesville joke write themselves. Next one from Connor. Has the league figured out Siakam? He's obviously a great defender, but what can he add / change his to his game in order to keep scoring at the same clip? Or is it just more of seeing shots go down and building on that? I think it's pretty safe to say that the league has figured out Siakam, not in the sense that you figure out a player that then all of a sudden you can't do anything. It's just like, I think the league has figured out how to take away his primary moves, take away the paint from him, take away the transition from him, right? Especially good defensive teams are able to do that. Now the question is what he can do to essentially improve his secondary skills to neutralize that and keep that balance open. Because as soon as he can do that, then all of a sudden everything else gets even out and he can play at a much more reasonable level, because it seemed like such a huge difference between what Pascal can do at the rim versus what Pascal can do on the perimeter, things like that. I mean, we've talked about this many times, but needs to improve the outside shot, needs to improve the pull-up three, which is absolutely vital for any star player nowadays, and needs to improve his playmaking because he has the ball a lot, shoots the ball a lot, doesn't create as much as you want. So that's
the answer.
Yeah. Hopefully he's been working this this offseason. I'm pretty confident he has been. So I'm curious to see what he comes back with. But
he's a very committed dude. I'm excited for hashtag revenge season.
Mm. Yeah, me too. Although I hope he doesn't use some sort of corny hashtag like that, because just not necessary. All right, we got four more questions, mostly from friends of the podcast, before we get to Stanley suggestions to end the show. First one from Kate. When are you going to have Bane's fan club on the podcast? Well, he followed me back, which is great.
That's a question for you. I don't know when the Colin show comes back.
I would love for him to call into the Colin show. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Who do you think he is? Like, well, if you had to take a guess as to who is behind the account.
You know, remember years ago when Langston Galloway was robbed of all of his jewelry after a night out at the club?
No, but okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Langston Galloway. I think the person behind Bane's fan club was the person who set him up. That's my guess, officially.
Wait, did this happen?
I
searched it up.
I'm pretty sure.
Are you talking about Clay Anthony Early?
Was it Clay Anthony Early? Oh, yeah, Langston Galloway. Who was the, like, second, all-rookie second team, played for the Knicks?
Clay Anthony Early. He was also a Clay Anthony Early teammate at Wichita.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. When he got robbed, the person who set him up, that's who I think is behind Bane's fan Twitter account.
So it's like a run a jewel situation.
Sure. that's my official guess for any anonymous Twitter account.
Yeah. Well, listen.
That's who I think Vitaly from Moscow is. I don't know.
I mean, no comment on that. To be honest, we have no idea. But honestly, Aaron Bane's Club, please call into the live call-in show. I think people would love to hear from you. And honestly, if you want to do the podcast, come on, man. I mean, we both follow each other. He sells T-shirts. That's unbelievable. He sells T-shirts.
We don't sell T-shirts.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This guy's, it's like white tees, black tees, and another black tee, I guess, with Aaron Bane's on it. Aaron Bane's in this logo kind of looks like Shock Top, you know, the beard.
Yep.
Yeah, so good for him, man. I mean, it's a great account. The content's great. I love when memes are really dank, and these are all dank, exclusively dank memes, so really enjoy it. Yeah, call into the call-in show. All right, next question from our guy, Arun. This is not a question, but a request. Tell the Scholastic Fair story. So earlier today, we were doing our 11 a.m. Work call at Yahoo, and we were discussing the Giannis thing. I put out a tweet that I already said in the podcast where, you know, it's just funny to compare, like, when superstars, you know, request things, right? Like, LeBron, he's like, I'm going to L.A. and I want to get AD. And they get AD, right? You know, like, the Pelicans, he's the franchise player. They got him. Kawhi, he goes to L.A., you know, like, all right, I want Paul George. Paul George still 2 years left on his contract. Paul George Day coming up soon in OKC, and they get Paul George. And James Harden, if he wants Russell Westbrook, he got Russell Westbrook. Giannis, being a superstar who should have the ability to demand players, all he wanted was to get Bogdan Bogdanovic. I sound like Jackie Chan in Rush Hour 2 after he thought Chris Tucker died. All he wanted was some Mushu. All he wanted was some Mushu Bogdanovic, okay? And he couldn't even get that done. Restricted free agent. You know, he had Kostas. He had his brother Thanasis talking to and tampering with Bogdan this whole time. But again, he was a free agent. How do you not even be able to deliver a free agent? All he asked for was Bogdanovic. And the Bucks still screwed that up, which is pretty funny. And I was going to say, it reminds me of, like, you know, back when in middle school and stuff, the Scholastic Fair will come around, which was a pure scam because everything was really, really overpriced. But they will set up in the library and they will put all these glitzy products out there. But everything was really overpriced.
Yeah.
The thing is, as an immigrant child, my family didn't really give me a lot of money for anything, but especially not for, like, bullshit. And so I would just go to the Scholastic Fair and, like, kids around me would just, like, buy all this other stuff. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I love Arthur. I love Captain Underpants. Let me just spend $60 on that. And me, I'm like, I love Captain Underpants too. I love Arthur too. Why can't I get some of this stuff? I'm like, yo, can I even get like $5 to buy in like an eraser or something? And they're like, no. And that's how I feel Giannis is right now. He's that immigrant child that's just like, can I go to the Scholastic Fair with $20? And they said no. The Bucks said no. So it's that's the Scholastic Fair story, man. I feel bad for Giannis right now, honestly. I really relate to his struggle.
That's very well. It's very well put, because I remember the first time I was able to get anything from the Scholastic Fair was when I become a paper boy for the Etobicoke Guardian.
Oh,
and
man.
Had some bread of my own, and I got some Animorphs books to read. They were nice. Okay, pretty
nice.
Good.
Nice.
But then I bought one because the library didn't stock it right away. I feel like there was like some conspiracy where they would say like, oh, there's a new Animorphs book. Like, okay, if does the library have them? Like, oh, we're not going to have this for 8 months, but you can spend, you know, $35 on a trade paperback. I'm like, help me out. I'm just stuck reading Nate the Great, like some sort of chump.
Wow. No, we're stuck going to the library and you know, the library copy of Captain Underpants was never very good. Or Tintin,
they're missing pages. All the funniest jokes.
Yeah, like the activities are colored in. It's terrible. Nothing really shows class division in a middle school like the Scholastic Fair. It really shows you who's the haves and have-nots. So that's Giannis. Unfortunately, he's a little immigrant child. Next question from Alex: if you had a $1,000 gift card to SVP Sports, how are you spending it? This is a stupid question because I think the whole store could probably have for $1,000 and you probably still have change left over to go pick up the $10 KC bucket next door. Yeah, I mean, Josh, if you had a $1,000 gift card to any store, what store would you want, man?
What, any store? Ooh, that's an interesting question. Probably like Henry's. Like I'd probably buy like a, like stuff for like streaming the show because we're going to be at home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Invest in yourself. Bet on yourself.
Yeah. Like, I don't, that's probably my real answer.
Yeah.
Probably. Or like I would get some like Nike ACG stuff.
Okay. But yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that idea of like reinvesting it into like gear that we can use for the show. But honestly, probably just put it towards a scholarship fund of some sort, TBD. But you know, like to get that back, because quite honestly, I don't really need the $1,000 gift card. I'm not trying to brag. I just mean like,
that's
me personally. I don't really like feel a super urge to to kind of consume like that. So if I could pass that on to someone else who could need it, I'd probably do that. But if I had, but an actual question, if I had $1,000 gift card at SVP, I mean, probably buy like, they have some pretty good Vans. I mean, they're only like $50. So I'm not really going to buy like, I don't know, 200 Vans, but you know, probably buy some Vans. You know, they have some jerseys upstairs that are always like, if the soccer team wore it 2 years ago, two seasons ago, they'll probably have it. So they'll have like a Juve kit that's old. They'll have I wouldn't buy a United kit, but they have United kits. Probably buy some soccer gear. And then, I don't know, man. It's hard to spend $1,000 at SVP. There's not that much. I mean, like, there's only so many Austin Matthews jerseys. Like, I'm not, how many Nazem Kadri jerseys am I really going to cop, you know?
There's like a music video from the early 2000s. It's either Cameron or Jay-Z or maybe somebody completely different, and I'm wrong. But they go into the store and they just buy the whole, you know, they buy one of everything.
Yeah.
We should eventually, we got to do like sneaker shopping with William Liu at SVP.
Oh, definitely.
And your grand total is like $280. And
yeah, that'd be my biggest purchase ever, bro.
all the Umbro you need.
Yo, don't sleep on Umbro, man. Real. Umbro is like the N1 of soccer, all right? Like, you got a real hoop heads are wearing Umbro. Believe that.
Speaking of kit that I'm trying to get, this year for the Euro, Scotland qualified. Yes. And my partner and her family are Scottish. So I'm trying to get like the home kit for Scotland.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's the one thing I'm looking out for.
Get her the Andy Robertson number. I think I don't know what he wears for Scotland, but he's definitely their best player too. I'm not even saying this.
By a while. He's good though.
He's great, man. Best left back in football right now. He's wears number 3 for them. So
yeah.
Captain, you know, honestly though, but congrats to Scotland, man. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement, man. Nothing in sports is as happy as something related to world football. That's the peak happiness you can achieve in sports, which leads me to the next question from Mark Savelle, the last one.
The skill you just demonstrated there.
You know, I am doing a pod every other day now. How many eBay bids does Stephen LeBron have on Maradona dirt merch?
So he's a legend.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even know. I mean, knowing Alex, I'm surprised he doesn't already own some Maradona merch. Quite honestly, maybe like a real obscure Boca Juniors kit, you know. But honestly, I just wanted to touch on Maradona because, like, it's such a big thing to happen in sports. And I always know that because, like, my dad tried to call me 2 nights ago when Maradona passed, and I missed the phone call, whatever. And I called him back last night and I was like, well, what did you want to talk about? And he was like, oh, I just wanted to talk to you about Maradona. And I was like, oh man. Cause I was like his favorite player and everything. Like, and I think for so many people of that age, like my dad's in his like late 50s, mid 50s, like for so many people of that age, Maradona was like the transformational world athlete. He was so famous world over. Like my dad would describe, like, I was like, how did you even watch him and stuff? Cause he was going to university in China at the time. And he was like, we had this like small TV, probably smaller than like a laptop, and obviously mad grainy. And there would be like 100 kids just like piled up, you know, wearing undershirts in a sweaty, you know, locker or I don't know, locker room kind of setting. And they would just all watch Maradona and then like go out and play soccer. Like Maradona inspired my dad to play soccer, got him to love sports, got me to love sports. Now I'm doing this podcast, you know, like it's, there are some real tangible offshoots just, you know, from Maradona alone. And honestly, like I was in Argentina. I went to Buenos Aires like a few years ago, and like the amount of, like Maradona is like everywhere, man. He's like a religion, like obviously in all the little, like, you know, trinket, like tourist shops and stuff like that. But if you visit like La Boca, which is the neighborhood I don't know if he grew up there, but he definitely played for the team there.
That's where his junior club was,
Yeah. Like, it's everywhere. There's murals of him all over the place. Because actually, I love that about South America in general. There's just murals everywhere all the time. But he is such an icon. And not only just for what he necessarily did as a footballer, which was, like, phenomenal and skillful and everything. But, like, even small things. Like, I remember, you know, asking a tour guide once just, like, you know, like, how come you guys, like, you know, first off, I asked him, like, Messi or Maradona, and he obviously said Maradona. He said Messi's great, but, like, you know, it's not the same. And I said, why is it not the same? And he explained to me that, like, what Maradona did to help Argentina win the 1986 World Cup, and especially the 2-1 win over England, where he scores the hand of God goal with his hand, and also then like literally dekes out like eight people and scores. It's like the greatest goal of all time. What he did to England that day, and not only in the fashion that he did it in, obviously spectacular and also genius, maybe cunning, I guess is the right word, but like the way he explained it to me was just like, there was a war obviously fought, you know, between the UK and Argentina, you know, over the Falkland Islands, which he actually told me to refer to them as the Malvinas Islands, because that's what the Argentinians referred to it as. And it's a very sensitive subject because obviously they fought this war. And then for like 2 years later, you know, for Maradona to do that to England, like that's just, you can never match that in any sort of sport. I mean, I don't even know what the equivalent would be, but there probably isn't one, man. And he won them the World Cup. So, you know, he's just such a legendary figure. And honestly, my Stanley suggestion is the same. Man. Just go watch the HBO doc on Maradona. It's phenomenal. And it's quite fun. And honestly, this man has lived like three or four lifetimes. So rest in peace to a legend. 2020 sucks for sure. But Maradona is one of those people that honestly, like truly like lives forever, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful. But well, yeah, it was like very bizarre news. The last, like many people, last time I saw him was the 2018 World Cup, where he put on a display fit to his the size of his personality.
Yep.
And
by the way, can you imagine that they let him coach the national team like in 2010?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable, really. But yeah, it's just one of the like great sports figures. That, you know, I was born in the early 90s, missed so much of his heyday, but cast this long shadow over my parents' understanding of sport. And I think sort of set in some ways the way that like the sort of legacy of Michael Jordan was put together as a global sporting superstar. Yeah. And it's great to see these people become like national icons. And while he stood for, you know, so much more than Jordan does politically and to the people, but it's been amazing to see sort of the global outpouring to afford like appreciation for the sort of great, the sportsman that he was and the way that he galvanized the nation and reminds you of what, you know, these children's games that we spend all our time talking about can really mean to people and how people become symbols of all, like while people can become the symbols of the best parts of our shared society. And I hope that's what we take away from the legacy he leaves behind and the memory of him now. And yeah, I think it'd be awesome if and I planned on watching that documentary this weekend, and I'll for sure do it around, you know, decorating the apartment for Christmas.
That's a mad adorable. Do you have a sound suggestion before we go?
I do. I guess if you are in the GTA, you'll understand why, but I'm going to recommend to listeners, and this one's another regional, it has to be regional, but Smoke Shack, a barbecue shop in Ottawa, Ontario, where I went to university. It's great, very delicious. I've enjoyed it many times that I've been able to visit. And I recommend if you're in the mood for some barbecue and want a place that will, you know, keep you safe and keep their employees safe, that you check that out. You know, this week in Toronto, had a very fun story in the news, and I thought I would shout out a barbecue place that I've enjoyed. If you're in Toronto, Beach Hill Barbecue in the east end of on the Danforth is also really good. So those are my Stanley suggestions this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, there you go. And make sure you get takeout.
Yeah, make sure you get takeout from Smoke Shack in Ottawa. Yeah. They're located in City Center, I believe. And so shout out to those guys.
Yeah. And rest in peace to Tubbical Rib Fest, man. That's the only place I actually ever bought ribs from.
I was talking about that next year. If they bring it back, it's going to be like the Unite goodness. The Right rally. It's going to be insane.
No. That's too bad. I thought you were just going to say it's going to have so many people in it. Because
back in the day, like going to like the number of people I saw that I wouldn't see anymore. Like after we finished high school, I would run into everyone that I knew from high school. Canada Day, Etobicoke Rib Fest, you go to the hill at Centennial Park to watch the fireworks. 100%,
man. Yep.
Everyone you know.
Everyone you know. Yeah. No, I mean, it's CNE, but only for the West Side.
It's true, man. I
CNE miss, before CNE too. That helps. So
yeah, I miss I don't even miss the ribs. I just miss going to Centennial Park on a, like, remember, I mean, like the, what is not, it was like OFSA qualifiers for our, like where our all of our high schools went to. Mm-hmm. That was always a great day. Anywho, we're getting old, Will.
I know, we're talking about the old days. So, well, Josh, this is great. The Colin Show's back. You can check out the Colin Show when we have the time for it, but we'll definitely publicize it. Me and Josh will be taking calls from everybody. Hopefully the Baines fan club calls in. I know, you know, our regulars will be calling in, but yeah.
The Woodloo fan club will be calling in.
Well, you know, I appreciate everybody. Shout out to Mark. I saw this guy at the park yesterday. I was shooting hoops and this guy was like, "Are you Woodloo?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh man, I'm a big fan." And meanwhile, I'm just thinking like, bro, I just missed like the last 8 shots. Like, I hope you didn't, I don't want you to know who I am.
Don't expose me.
No, nah, he was not bad though. He had some real range on his 3, but yeah, shout out Mark, man. But no, seriously, appreciate all the support, everything like that. And yeah, Josh, thanks for coming on.
Of course.
We'll be back next week. Peace.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.